Good morning, Gloucester. It is January 23rd. We're banging out the podcasts now. Slow time down the dock. It's cold and outside, but the weather outside is frightful. But we are very delightful. We have Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Midweek podcast. I love it. Love it. Kim, fresh back from Santa Monica, where she visited her the love of her life, her daughter Liv.
One of three loves of my life. my son.
Yeah,
too.
But you would, if you could only keep one person in your life, and you'd have to murder the other two, you would murder Tom and Alex,
no,
and you would keep Liv.
No,
be honest. It's true.
I'm not hearing that.
If you had to, one would live and the other two would die. No, you would take Liv.
I'm not hearing that.
It's true. You love your daughter so much.
They have a bond. They have a bond because they hang out together. They do mother-daughter stuff.
Yeah. Bond between a mother
and
daughter.
I'm deeply connected to my son, too. I know.
Alex is killing it at passports. I had the Alatajana yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He's been there a lot lately.
Yeah. Oh, and he loves his job there. Yeah. He loves it there. And he loves his job at Brody's, too. So.
Yeah. Good guy. So tell me. What was Santa Monica like, briefly?
I don't know how to say it briefly.
Is it funky? Is it a funky town, or is it more like Republican?
I would say it, because it's so...
Is it eclectic?
It's very eclectic. It's where Liv lives is right in the sort of the luxurious area, because she's right near the boulevard, the Ocean Avenue, with all the beautiful hotels that look out under the water. It's fun. It's funky. There's a lot of artists, filmmakers. There are a lot of studios around her neighbor, film editing studios.
Do you know where Santa Monica is positioned?
No, I don't.
If you went west from like Beverly Hills and Bel Air, the
west rich, from those places, aren't right. those places on the water?
No, they're not.
No, they're
Beverly
not.
Hills and, is and, not
and,
on no, the water.
And if you went west right. from there, which is where they're all those mansions and the very uber wealthy people live, you would
be in Santa Monica.
You'd be in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that.
Right. Just north of there, along the coast, as it sort of curves up, there's some beautiful canyons, and so it's a pretty. If you're gonna live in California, right, or be in California.
Is that the start or the finish? Where on the Pacific Coast Highway? What do they call that route?
PCH.
The PCH. Where on that is?
It's right on it.
I know, is it the middle? Is it down the southern tip? Or is
no,
it?
No, it's not as far south as
San Diego. What is it at? San Diego?
San Diego.
Yeah. Okay. Santa Monica is part of Los Angeles.
Okay.
It is part
of
Los
Angeles. So it's about an hour and a half north of San Diego?
Yeah, I'd say at least that. Because you have to go down to Long Beach, and you have to go to Huntington Beach, Long Beach, and then down to San Diego.
But the key is, if you can position in your mind, the Bel Air and Beverly Hills, and you just went a little bit west, which would take you.
So you're looking, if the Hollywood Hills, you're looking down at Santa Monica.
Yes,
right? You're
looking
is that right?
Yeah. Essentially,
it's
yes.
It's a big, Santa Monica Bay is a big, huge arching bay that Los Angeles is located on further west. And okay. That's all Santa Monica, and then Malibu right below Santa Monica.
So compare it to Gloucester. Bigger.
Bigger. Yeah. Much bigger.
More urban?
Much more urban, but also much more outdoorsy. Everybody's outside constantly. Everybody who works.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, even
biking,
today,
right.
it's 55, 60 right. degrees anyway.
Yeah, biking, surfing, I mean, it was just like, it's just a whole city teeming with young people, too. You would go to a restaurant and everybody there would be
beautiful people. A lot of beautiful
30.
People.
Yeah, no, nobody. Everybody looks very physically fit. There's they're very, very healthy. It's a very healthy lifestyle.
A lot of vegans.
We didn't know there's a lot of all the food. All the restaurants had
Is there a huge farm to table? Is it as popular there as it is up north in Northern California?
No, I don't think so. It was more. I think that is part of it, but I also think there are a lot of Spanish restaurants, French restaurants, all different kinds of restaurants.
Art scene?
Fabulous. But I think there's even more of an art scene up in Santa Barbara. There's everything there because it's huge and it's big and it's beautiful. And
you had a ball.
Yeah, really. Every
what was your favorite
second.
Part besides hanging out with Liv? Because I know that's going to be a first, and we'll get that out of the way.
Was going up to San... The day we went... Well, two. We went through this one hike through a canyon. That was beautiful.
How'd your legs hold up?
Good.
You're fine with that?
Yeah, because we didn't do, like... We went on, like, little 5 and 6 mile hikes. We didn't go...
That's a long way.
We didn't go on the 10 mile hikes.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, it was...
How long is it around the back shore? Because I did that for the first time last week.
Oh, how long is it?
Yeah, around the back shore... back, like, say you started at Last Stop Variety and you came back to Last Stop Variety.
Oh, I don't know.
Toby, take a guess.
I don't know how many miles that is. I have no idea.
All right.
Okay. So, anyway, so I'll tell you this part. This was our very, very, both of our favorite day trip was going to Santa Barbara because there's a monarch sanctuary there.
Surprise, surprise.
So, you get to Santa Barbara and you go through this beautiful eucalyptus grove. And eucalyptus trees are not native.
Is it eucalypti?
Yeah. Eucalyptus trees are not native to California. So there's a big battle with the conservationists because the monarchs have adapted to the eucalyptus trees, but the eucalyptus trees cause forest fires. So it's really a dichotomy.
Doesn't everything always evolve, though? Yeah. I mean, there's always something that was brought from someplace. And
someplace
I mean, how
right.
do you...
Yeah. Right, well, because of the fires. It does, because fires is a huge problem out there.
Insurance
so then you go through this, like...
in charge.
You go through this beautiful eucalyptus grove. Then you come to this field or meadow. You walk across there. This is all part of the reserve. And then you're on the cliff overlooking the Santa Barbara Bay. And then right across the way is the Channel Islands. I have some really cool photos that I'm going to be posting.
The West Coast seems to have a lot more of that, like... Mountains, boom, you're in the ocean. Compared to like the East Coast where everything's gradually...
Right, that's what it is. It's this sheer... It was all formed by volcano... By volcanic activity, pushing up against the landmass. And that's why you have this big range of mountains. Yeah. And then it's... There's... Like some of the roads we were on, there was nothing. Like, it's just this little
sliver. The East is older. They've worn down through the years.
Yeah, that's true. The East areas, we're older. We're granite, and they're like igneous rocks.
I see. Oh,
yeah.
Literally, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, literally.
I thought you were making a joke.
Footsteps. No, geographically.
Yeah, I mean,
true.
You know, you could get somebody who's an expert that could explain it to
interesting.
You.
Interesting.
Well, listen to this. We had to keep going on a detour every time we wanted to go up the highway because there'd been a landslide. And that doesn't sound like much. Like, this landslide happened December 1st. Yeah. And so the whole highway for like 3 miles is... totally unpassable. So you have to make this like 10-mile, you know, detour, 15 or 20-mile detour going around because like their main highway, the Pacific Coast Highway, was a slide. You couldn't travel on it. It's so dramatic. Where does the rock go? And then they have to like sort of rebuild the mountain because it's just like, but that's what makes the climate so beautiful along the coast of California because you have the beautiful Pacific breezes and coming through, and then it's trapped by the mountain range. So that's what makes this beautiful. Because right on the other side of the mountain are the deserts.
Arid, yeah.
Right. So you have this moist air trapped.
It's lush.
By the,
that's why they have all. That's why they have so many farms and everything else. Because you have all the rainwater collection down to the canyons where they have all the farms and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
There you go.
It's stunning. I would recommend. I think you should go.
I would like to go to wine country. That's on my bucket list.
Wine
country is on my bucket list, and Greek islands are on my bucket list.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and someday, and I doubt it, I'll get to it. But like like those Fiji places where they have the little bungalows out on the, like,
right,
3 feet of water.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on my bucket
list. I'll do what I can to subsidize that, Julie.
Good luck with
but
that.
But you should go. If you go to wine country, then you have to go down to Santa Monica and Santa Barbara. You have to go to Santa Barbara, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Tonight's the lobster trap buoy auction.
Oh, I'm excited to go
to
that.
Auction.
Are you able to go?
I don't think I'm going to make it. I get the girls tonight, and we're going to do some other fun
Donna's
stuff.
Donna's going to go, right, I think?
Super K's going. Donna's going. So we have a couple people. Good Morning Gloucester people will be there.
Okay, good.
We got that going. And speaking of Art Haven. We got the notification from Paul. Well... Actually, originally, Melissa Cox was in here talking about it on the podcast. There's a David Black sculpture that's proposed for Solomon Jacobs Park.
Quite large.
Quite large. And just like, now this is a classic example. Did I bring this up in a podcast 2 weeks ago where I said any public art thing where there's monies that get paid out to for a project, there's always like other artists and other people like decry it as horrible, not great work. Right.
Because it's not theirs.
Because it's not theirs. A lot of times it's just not that. Sometimes it's just not their vision of what they like. Some people don't like contemporary art. Right. Some people, the only art that they can see is oil paintings of schooners,
right?
Or still life of a vase with an apple and a flower in it. And other people, you know, like the more abstract, you know, the better or whatever. Right. So it's all in the eye of the beauty of.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Thank you for correcting. And I've read a lot of.
Well, that being
I've read
said.
A lot of backlash against this, you know.
From my point of view, I look at it and I think it's.
Is it the scale you have a problem with?
The scale is totally disproportionate to the community. It's similar to a project that was suggested for Rocky Neck, which I thought that, again, was totally out of scale. And when you look at the human figure beneath it, and I went on David Black's website and I saw that he does a lot of large-scale installations for urban areas. So I can see that scale next to a skyscraper, but for something like that to dwarf all our historic buildings, in my opinion, it's the wrong scale for our community. And I also question, like, why do we keep getting this situation where why are artists choosing us? Why aren't we choosing artists? If we want a sculpture there, if as a community we choose to have a sculpture there, which that's debatable in the first place because there's all these beautiful vistas all around, so perhaps not everybody even wants a sculpture there, but why are sculptors coming to us? Why aren't we choosing somebody if we even do want something there? So, I mean, that's
an interesting take. How about you, Toby? Did you see the picture first?
I saw the picture.
Okay.
It is large, there's no doubt.
Does that bother you?
I guess I'd have to go right there and try to envision...
Yeah, that's I'm going to do that.
You know, exactly what that scale is. You know, if it's as big as a tree, I mean...
No, it's not.
You know, it's bigger?
It's bigger.
Okay.
It's
much bigger. Like I said,
If you look at the graphic, I mean, bigger than the trees that grow around here.
I saw it, I'm sorry, finish the thought. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Do you have something to add?
He didn't just choose us, it's my understanding. He has Gloucester roots going back to the Tars and Wansons from the old paint factory.
He's choosing us.
Right.
He's choosing us.
He's saying, I'll donate this.
I'll donate
the materials of my time.
Right.
And National Grid is going to pay for the base.
Right.
But it's also, I read on Facebook somewhere, it's public and private funding. It's not just private funding. It's public and private funding. So.
Well, I guess the answer is go to the meeting.
Yeah, go to the meeting. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Better informed before you finalize your decision.
Yeah. Good advice.
I'll give you my thoughts on it. I am reading the backlash online, and I guess the source would be a place where it is notorious for people that only bitch 24/7 anyway, so I'm not even going to cite where it was, but there was probably 20 negative comments about it. But I would say it is not that. Like I think it's almost kind of a cool thing, and I almost think that, like, to show a little bit how progressive we are. Yeah, it's not another oil painting of a schooner, and it's not just another cliched piece of art. It's something completely different and large scale. In a place where visitors are gonna see, and maybe they like it, maybe they don't. Maybe they can figure out that it's, you know, supposed to represent a bunch of seagulls and waves and stuff like that. Or maybe they just say, oh, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I don't think anyone's going to have a... I don't know. I'm not as negative on it as everyone else. I don't have a strong feeling about the space, other than I'd like to see more picnic benches in places like that, because it is city space.
More user friendly, friendly to people.
Are there public bathrooms down there? Well, I wonder if you could probably use the Heritage Center, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if that was part of their permit to get that project approved. Anyway, I think they are. There's public bathrooms underneath at the Heritage Center.
Yeah.
And I guess to wrap it up for me is I don't hate it as much as I've heard a lot of people.
I can tell you that I often grab a sandwich, could be Virgilio's, could be Scafani's, and where I head to sit by the water and enjoy it is Solomon Jacobs Park.
I go to that space.
Right. I love it. It's right by the water. If you see any of the Coast Guard boats that are going out on routine,
there's usually parking there.
There is usually parking, which is
convenient.
So I like that space.
How would you like, as somebody who uses the space, how would you like to see it improved?
What I can tell you is, for the most part, most of the times when I'm down there, with the exception of seagulls, I'm the only person there. I think we have a lot of underutilized park spaces in Gloucester. Not that we can't have more, it's just that there are a lot.
It's a park already.
The head of the harbor, for example, across from Lees, there's very few people
very
there.
Few people ever go there.
Ever go there, but it's a fabulous place to just sit and relax and enjoy past time. I just throw that out.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Like, how to get more people down there to use it.
But of course, during the summer concert series, the Solomon Jacobs Park is packed.
Right. Yeah. Right. So then, where that space is? Isn't that occupied by?
No, it's behind. This would be behind the stage.
The hill at Fitz Henry, and the band is set up like across the street, but kind of on the.
And then this proposed spot is right behind.
Yeah, in front of where the harbor master's office is.
Right,
yeah.
But it's basically there is behind on if you went down Harbor Loop.
Right.
And you looked at where that stage is.
Right.
Behind there is Solomon Jacobs Park.
Okay.
Yesterday you got back. Did you have your home energy audit yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
How'd it go?
It was interesting.
Yeah?
It was interesting.
Did they replace any light bulbs?
They did replace some light bulbs.
Did you have any heat loss in any particular places?
Yes. We have a very old house. Our house was built in 1851. There's a lot of areas in the house that aren't insulated. Their estimate was about $8,000 for us to insulate our house.
You don't have to do that.
No, and to do a few other things, and then they would pay I think the incentive program is for $2,000, so then it would cost us $6,000.
Are you sure it wasn't the inverse of that? Because they're supposed to pay 75%.
Yeah, 75% up to $2,000. That's it. 75% up to $2,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've read the papers for you to look at.
Oh, that's cool.
To show you the number.
I mean, I think the point for me was you're not obligated to do any of it.
No.
Feel like it was worth your time for them to drop off the free light bulbs?
The light bulbs, the free light bulbs, I'm not using most of them in a way because the light is very blue.
Oh.
And that's not, like, we have a lot of dimmers and things like that. And so when you put one of those light bulbs in the dimmers in a regular fixture, then it flickers. So at a low level, yeah. And then also we have a lot of candelabras. You can't put them in candelabras. And also we have a lot of older lamps that the bigger lights won't fit into an older, you know, like an antique lamp type of thing.
Do you have to buy special light bulbs as it is?
No, regular light bulbs fit in. These are just slightly bigger. So, like, you have on a regular lamp where you have a harp, a lot of the light bulbs are so big they won't fit in.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the ones they put, there was like five different types of light bulbs that they used at my mom's house.
Yeah, they used several different types. And then I said, well, you know, some are okay, and then other ones I'll wait until, like, the morning to see how I like it in the morning light and stuff like that. And, yeah. So, but
whatever light bulbs my mom was using,
right.
And she had cans.
Right, she had cans. We don't have anything like that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Because
we could, like, I put, so in the
right,
ceiling, took one out,
right.
we replaced it with a different one,
right.
And staring at it, we could not tell the difference.
You know what, when the lights are full strength, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to tell the difference.
Uh-huh.
When they're set at a lower light, they just go down bluer. So, because it's a bluer light.
I have to look at that because my mom has everything on dimmers too, but I didn't notice it.
Yeah. So, so then I was trying to figure out, like, what exactly. So it was $144 savings, they said, by doing that. But each individual person pays $180 every year for this program. If you look at your bill.
But you can't opt out of it.
You can't opt out. So you're paying $180.
Did you get 12 months? Did you get any power strips?
Yeah, we got two power strips. Yeah, we haven't set those up yet. Tom tried one and he didn't like it. I think he's going to give it to Tony. Something to do with his computer, I don't know. So it was very interesting. I think where it will help us is all the leads for solar, all the solar capabilities that it it can do. But it was very interesting.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Just to backtrack for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I just did some research. The height of the sculpture, the proposed sculpture, is 25 feet.
Okay.
So if you need to...
What's a two-story home usually?
Well, that is...
10 foot per story, thereabouts.
And then a pitch on the roof.
Right.
So you're talking about the same as a normal size house.
But in the graphic that they... Then the graphic that they have in the poster is misleading because the human person under it is tiny compared to the representation that they show.
Maybe it's a midget. Right. It says 25.
Oh, you can't say midget. Maybe it's a short person.
No.
But in any case, it was a woman, there aren't too many women who are 6 foot plus.
Well,
so
even if it's just 6 feet, you know.
If you said five, you know, five times whatever height she was.
Well, it's going to be interesting. People should go. When is the meeting?
Monday. It's Monday.
Okay.
I don't know.
And
where
is it at the spot of the thing?
Yeah.
Let me see. Okay, I'll tell you right now. Read it. On Monday, January 26th, 6 p.m., Council Melissa Cox and I, this is coming from Paul McGeary, will be hosting a dual ward meeting at Maritime Gloucester on Harbor Loop. So, there it is.
Right next to Solomon Jacobs Park.
Right.
That's right.
What time did you say it was?
6 p.m.
Okay.
January 26th.
Right. Well, I also have it going up as a blog post tonight asking people's opinions about it.
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah.
Good.
So, I mean, I scheduled that.
We're probably going to get a lot of people that say they don't like it because that's just the way people are.
Well,
but that's fine.
But also,
people are entitled to their opinion. I'm not saying I'm not telling anybody how they're supposed to think.
But sometimes I think, well, those opinions are valuable because, like, why do you want to thrust somebody else's aesthetic on an entire community if the aesthetic is, you know, obtrusive to what's already going on there?
I agree.
It'll be interesting.
There'll be a lot of opinions expressed, and hopefully
people don't like change, that's for sure. Yeah. So
hopefully
good
people
luck.
Will remain objective and listen to, I don't want to say to get swayed one way or the other, but to get their input. There may be some info that they don't know.
Right.
Here's one thing that Melissa, when I was talking to her, was saying, and I guess I feel like I don't really care about this so much, but I guess local artists maybe care about this because they want to keep everything in-house, that, like, there should be bigger credence on allowing this to happen because the guy was born here and he was a valedictorian of Gloucester High, so he's a local, so we should have it because of that. For that should be a reason to have it. Mm. I don't know that that's a reason for me to want it. I don't know
because is how connected is he still to the community? I mean, is that if you
even if he was or wasn't, right, is right, kind of my point.
Right,
I don't
if,
know.
Right, if he like, was or what, if you make that
I don't think that
the benchmark for all future art, then that I don't think that's a good idea. No.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone know where Schooner Ridge is in Gloucester?
No.
Toby?
No.
Can you look it up on your handheld computer over there? Schooner Ridge in Gloucester. While Toby's looking it up, I'm going to read this. I think this was in the Gloucester Daily Times, but I think it was. The title was "Coyote Attack Kills Yorkie."
Oh, I read that one.
Was it in the Times?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
The reason I bring this up is I know you had your Cosmo was attacked by a coyote
twice.
Yorkshire Terrier. And they are mourning.
The was his name Benji or I don't remember what it was.
No, Mr. Little Bear.
Little Bear. Oh, right. Because then they also have
Mr. Bear.
Right. They have three other ones. They also had like Mama Bear,
Mrs.
Papa
Bear, Little Bear, and Baby Bear. B E H R.
Right.
They own an acre of property that borders woods and marshland. Jeff said the couple never let Mr. Bear or the other three teacup Yorkies out for more than a minute or two without checking on them. Last Tuesday was no different, he said, but the attack happened so quickly and there was nothing he or his wife could do. Something grabbed him and took him into the woods. We didn't see it, we just heard a little scuffle. A three-hour search proved fruitless. The couple headed out one more time and that's when they found Mr. Bear motionless at the edge of their property. So I don't understand how is the title Coyote Attack Kills Yorkie if the people said they didn't see it. They're just assuming.
Or didn't the vet? I think their vet
all right,
said.
Hold on one second, okay. Toby. You got the location?
Yeah, I know where it is.
Where? Okay.
If you went to Atlantic Street toward West, you're right.
Okay.
And that where that new development
Castle Hill,
Castle View, or whatever it is, it's up there. It's one of those
Castle
roads.
View. Okay.
So it's basically. Some of those, well,
up by where Marty Lester lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of those.
Okay.
Castle.
Well, I think I had that same question when I was.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is on school. It is one of those roads in Castle View.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it was. Yep. Yeah. I know.
I had that same question when I was reading the article, and I don't want to be quoted, but I believe towards the end of the article, it said that. The vet confirmed that it was a coyote attack.
Okay.
However, I don't understand because coyotes usually kill to eat. They're not killing for pleasure. They usually kill to eat. So I don't understand why.
Well, did they describe if the guts were ripped out and the coyote ate it or not?
No, but the coyote just like eats a lot of it. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe when the people came out, they scared the coyote away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe conjecture.
Maybe he dropped it or something. I don't know. A lot of people, I would say.
Not a lot of meat on a Yorkie.
No. That's why I always thought about my skinny old black cat. There's no meat on him either. Why would somebody
get
like
out of
him?
That? Pick his teeth with the bones.
Yeah. But I forget what I was going to say completely. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. So
it's okay. You've been in California for a little while.
I know what it was. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, but so a long time ago when we first started hearing coyotes, people would say, "Oh, well, that could be a fisher cat killing animals." Well, I read this article that said that fisher cats, they have looked in the inside. You know, they've caught many fisher cats,
looked at them, see what they've eaten,
and they've never found
a cat.
They've never found cat remains.
Really?
They eat other types of animals, but they've never found cat remains in fisher cats.
That's interesting because when we found J.J. Jingle Nuts after he was mauled, his guts were ripped out. Splayed or whatever you call it.
Right, well, that wasn't that long ago, right? So it could have been a coyote.
And now it was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, so could have been a coyote. I don't know what it was. I mean, this is all conjecture, but anyways.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think from reading the article that the vet said that it was a coyote attack. And then I think they can tell by, like, they could tell with my cat the first
time. I think kids my age, my children's age, like 7 and 9, I don't think a coyote would go after them because I think they're tall enough that they could kind of, like, freak them out a little bit. And they don't think that coyotes like be around humans too much.
But
I think, like, little Little toddlers.
I think little toddlers are.
Who leaves a little toddler out in the backyard unattended?
Well, I told you what happened to me at the berm, where Rosie was right next to me, and I was on a lower
rock. Rosie's your little dog.
My little Scottish terrier.
Scottish terrier.
And I was crouched down on a rock, so the coyote couldn't see me. So that could happen with a child. And then the coyote that was charging us, I stood up quickly, and there's this coyote charging towards us.
Did it stop?
It stopped when it saw me, you know, standing full height. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, a little kid playing on the ground, a child playing on the ground, I don't know.
Yeah.
Coyote awareness is important. It's very important.
Well, it's... Yeah.
And to tell kids, if you do ever encounter a coyote, to wave your arms a lot, make a lot of noise.
Scary.
Don't scream, because a high-pitched scream sounds like you're a wounded animal.
Oh.
So just make loud banging, loud, deep banging noises.
I got the coyote whistle for my keychain.
Oh, you do?
To walk from my sister's house to my mom's house in the middle of the night. No joke, I did. I got it. Well, it's funny. This year, I haven't seen a single coyote.
Yeah.
Last year, I saw a coyote. I think it was an average of a coyote within 30 yards of me, a coyote on an average of once every 12 days or 10 days, which was it was strange. That being said, two nights ago at my mom's house, there was a pack just outside of the door.
Really?
So they're around right now, but I don't...
How many were in the pack?
I didn't see them. They were literally outside of the house, and it sounded like there was at least five or six, because it was all different pitches all at the same time. I don't know if it was a fresh kill. I don't know what it was.
Oh,
it was
goodness.
Wild, though. So they're around still. I just don't know why. I wonder what the... And I don't see the rabbits either, like I saw 2 years ago.
We have so many bunnies in our neighborhood right now.
I see some, but not like it was two years ago. Two years ago, it was an explosion of bunnies and coyotes.
Right.
It seems like they're on the decline.
Well,
cyclical, maybe.
I heard somebody up on Mount Pleasant Street or in that area was...
Mount Pleasant Street or Mount Pleasant Avenue?
Mount Pleasant Avenue up in our area was hunting them. So that is... I can't confirm but that's just a rumor that I've heard, but...
Toby has some breaking news for us.
Oh.
it is breaking news. Well, it's insider information.
Okay.
Well, you mean
from a second source.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like I don't know. You don't know what we're talking about. Go ahead and tell and spill the beans.
I know how to play Mickey the Dunce.
There you go.
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
The other day I was driving by the former location of Mooters Package Store, most recently Nonnie's by the Sea, where the paper's been in the window that says Top Secret.
It's come down, it's gone up, now it's back up.
And I happened to notice that there was a contractor's van, properly lettered, that indicated that they did refrigeration, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So I just pulled in and said, so, What's the story? And it was like, what do you mean? I said, look, we're all waiting to find out what's going in there. I said, I got to go over to town and get a sub now. I said, is this, what's it going to be, pizza? He said, sub shop.
Sub shop.
So I said, so just like a normal sub shop? He said, look, all I got is sub shop.
So run by the same people?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay, so we have... From a contractor.
February 1st, as he did say.
Wow.
Looking for February 1st opening. So this is not from the owners.
Okay.
So we have to take it for what it's worth.
Right.
And, we still say it's a pretty good chance of a rumor that's, a pretty good accuracy, I would say, from a contractor that's working on it. Okay.
Right.
That being said, there's a lot of sub shops in Gloucester.
Right.
You have to differentiate yourself, and I think there are. I think there's several keys. No. I think that you could do it.
Okay.
I think there's certain keys that you have to execute on.
Okay.
One is, I think you have to have high quality and unique ingredients.
Yeah.
Like Willow Rest. It's it's not the same sub you're going to get every place else.
Right.
And Vigilio's.
Right.
Not the same sub you're going to get anywhere else. So that's one place. Like really great, a great sub, right?
Right.
Then
with really great product.
Great product in it.
Right.
Like Like some kind of like
nice special meats.
Special meats, yeah. Special kind of veggies that are like maybe marinated in something or like, you know.
I'm getting hungry.
Grilled artichokes, you know what I mean? Like whatever.
Ooh, and, that sounds yum.
Then the second thing is great bread. Like you can't, not just run of the mill bread. If you're going to start up a sub shop on its own, it's got to have great, great bread. And I think the third key is toasting.
Toasting. Every place is somewhat unique. I mean, let's face it. We don't go to you don't go to Scafani's for just any kind of sub. You go to Scafani's if you have a very specific, let's say, an Italian cold cuts type of sandwich. Yeah, and there are, you know, when, like I said, there are different reasons to go to different shops. I mean, Jeff's Variety over on Eastern Avenue, there are certain sandwiches they make that I like, Destino's. So it would be nice if these guys distinguish themselves with some sort of uniqueness so that you, when they, you know, you were hankering for a lunch option, you know, that they would distinguish themselves.
Give us a reason to stop there.
That's correct.
And not go another quarter of a mile up the hill to Destino's or to Leonardo's.
Not just be a Me Too, another one, right.
Yeah, please, yeah. We're looking for like something really cool
something
and special,
cool
and we're willing to pay a little extra.
You know what the problem is, though, with the sub shops? Like, if you get a cheese steak at Destino's, it's really good, but if you get it, I don't know if I should say the name or not, but at another sub shop.
Yeah, don't say the name, but go ahead.
It's mediocre. I end up giving it to the dogs.
There are reasons to go to certain locations for specific sandwiches that they make better than the...
Tommy, where's your favorite sub shop?
Used to be Destino's before I got thrown out of there.
Okay. This is Tommy Burns, one of our lobsters. So what is your new favorite sub shop?
Probably Mike's.
Mike's Place?
Over Railroad Ave.
And what's your favorite sub there?
An American. Or an Italian.
What's an American?
And like an Italian?
Doesn't have the fancy salamis or mortadella.
I like American without all the hot. I don't like the hot meat. And I like
so is it just basically meat. Ham and cheese? Is that an American?
Yeah. Pickles, onions, whatever.
Ham and cheese with pickles, onion, mustard?
Good.
No peppery, super salt.
No peppers, no hots. Right.
No salami.
Like the shredded lettuce they have there.
Yeah.
I love that shredded lettuce.
Yeah, a big fan.
It's funny that you never heard that term in American.
I asked because I wanted to make sure. In my mind, an American is a ham and cheese with mustard. I'm not sure if that's right.
It's just like an Italian.
Without salami and soprasato.
Without the kind of hot.
And the mortadella. Regular processed ham.
More bologna like. Cold cuts as a
bologna and
I always get a little extra oil in it,
There you go.
If you want the meal, gotta go to the Causeway. If you want the meal.
But that's not a sub shop though. We're talking sub
shop. Sub shop.
See the place you know where Mooters used to be?
Yeah.
They have it all covered over right now.
Yeah.
Tommy we're just filling in Tommy.
It's a big secret.
Toby was there and the guy had the construction van and he asked the guy, what's it gonna be? He said a sub shop.
Okay.
So the point of what we were just talking about before you came in was, we're saying you got to differentiate yourself a little bit because there's a million sub shops, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you know something? You ain't going to please all the people all the time. Some people will swear by Mike's, other people will swear by Destino's.
So what do you think would make that place successful as opposed, because they got to break into it and get your business. What would it take for them to get your business? Yeah.
First thing is a good product for a fair price.
Yep.
Okay. Basically, they're all a little overpriced. When Destino opened up Destino Sub Shop in 1959, a small sub there, an American, was 35 cents. A large sub was 45 cents.
Wow.
And I have the original menu, and they would kill to get it, only I'd burn it before they'd get the menu.
And a house was $10,000 back then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, like one person would say, well, the yellow sub across from St. Anne's Church is... That's the place to go,
A lot of people say the yellow
are good.
A lot of people say the yellow sub has the best egg salad and tuna salad.
It's good. It's good.
And they have the baby shrimps.
The baby shrimp salad. Yeah.
I know I saw going there. They have an excellent potato salad. And if you eat there, you get the potato salad. If you get it to go, you don't get a potato salad.
Are you talking about Destino's?
No, the Elbow Sub Shop.
Oh, they have that deal too?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I didn't know that.
If you eat there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was so good, I asked for another one. And she goes, yeah, 80 cents, you know? And I, at Destino's, you get all you can eat for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, tray after tray after tray, as long as you stay in there and eat it.
Yeah.
Can't get it to go.
Okay.
Is it getting warm? Or?
No, it's all right. I was just trying not to throw any businesses under the bus.
No.
Yeah. So, trying to help people.
So basically,
Tom didn't get the memo.
The sub shops, like you might love one sub shop and I might like another. You know, you might like an American at one sub shop, I might like an American or an Italian at another. Virgilio's, that's good. And that's all Italian.
I like Virgilio's, yeah. Virgilio's
most
people
don't
know
this is that I'm pretty much Italian. My grandfather was born in Terracini, Sicily.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But you never know. He looks like Captain Joe.
Yeah.
Joe,
I think that the key for this place is that they have to do, you have to do something. You can't just offer the same sub that you can get at any generic place, that you have to use really good ingredients, special, make some really cool specialty subs.
I like have more of a tendency to go to like a sub shop like Virgilio's, which also has other kind of things I might need to cook with. You know what I mean? So I can do like
do an errand at
one time. So yeah. I'll sit in there, get a lunch, get some olive oil, get their pasta, that kind of thing. So
by the way, the plural of shrimp is shrimp.
Sure.
But I had to say
it's not shrimps.
I had to say it like the Gloucester people. Yeah, a lot of Gloucester people.
Can
they
have
the baby shrimps.
Love it. All right. Well, there we go. Do you guys got anything you want to talk about before the end of the? I want to go over this again. Tonight is the buoy auction
I think that starts at
Cruiseport.
Right. Does it start at 5?
The bridal
starts 5. Tomorrow is the bridal show at
Cruiseport.
And Tommy does not want to hear anything about weddings. Like after how many times were you married, Tom?
Twice. Both to really beautiful women. My ex-wife Lindsay, was still good friends. She's 62. She's 36, 23, 35, 118 pounds, 5'6". Beautiful white teeth, long brown hair, absolutely gorgeous. You saw her, you'd, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Looks like something out of Playboy. Two kids.
Beautiful.
And they were still friends, but she's remarried, you know? So.
Is that the one that's in England?
No, that's another one.
Oh, okay.
That's Mary. Mary's hot, too.
Alright, Joey.
Tommy Burns. Alright, well, I want to announce the winner of last
week. I'm out of here before I get thrown out.
Okay. Alright, Tom. Thanks for taking part.
Thanks for spicing it up.
Oh my God, thank God. I was wondering what other business he was going to throw under the bus before he left. Did you see me sweat, Paul? Did you see the beads of sweat on my forehead forming as he spoke? I was like on pins and needles, like, oh no. We should have got the no button, Frankie's no button on his desk.
Oh.
Yeah. No. There you go. So we're going to announce last week's GloucesterCast new podcast subscriber contest winner. The winner of Clark Snow, his commercial fishing storybook, Waltzing with Lady Luck, is Debbie Lloyd. Congratulations to Debbie Lloyd. You can pick up your prize down here at the dock. So, and
autographed copy of his
book. Mm-hmm. Awesome. With a nice, fun illustration on the cover.
Yeah, very good.
Clark Snow is an old, a fellow that fished out of Gloucester for a long time. Most people knew of him as Cricket Snow.
There you go. And this week we have the most valuable prize that we've given away on the blog since we've started the new podcast subscriber. You don't have to get it, Toby, but I'll describe it to them. It is a fleece-lined outdoor jacket embroidered with the Good Morning Gloucester logo on it. We'll take a picture.
Wow.
Donated by Paul Frontier, a Cape Ann painter. You can check it. We'll put a link to Paulie's personal website on there for him for donating this. And it is, I'm going to say it's like a $45 jacket that you, but so to
because it's embroidered with the GMG logo, it's
priceless.
Priceless.
Yeah, priceless. But thank you, Paulie. That was really sweet of you for donating that. And someone is going to. Size is large. Size large. Okay. And you have to pick it up here at the dock. So subscribe to the podcast. We'll provide the link in the show notes. and you could win it. One of the 10. We have a winner every week. So
wow, that's awesome. What a great gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. One of the first 10 subscribers. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Midweek GloucesterCast, January 23rd, 2015, in the books.